Welcome to episode 13 of the Variable Podcast. This is your host, John Bragle, and this week we have the opportunity to hear from executive producer and life and career coach, Lisa Shires, on the topic of embracing the discomfort of change. Lisa and I met in my hometown of Baltimore, Maryland back in 2018, and instantly I felt that we were kindred spirits due to our shared values of community and encouraging others. At the time, Lisa owned a production company, and since she's made some big pivots, including taking an EP role at production agency Blink based in New York City, as well as forming her own coaching business, which we'll dive into later in this episode. If you're curious to learn more about Lisa's coaching work, you can go ahead and check her out at lisashirescoaching.com. That's lisashirescoaching.com. I do want to go on a bit of a whim and encourage you to look into coaching if you feel like you are at a point in your life where you feel stuck or you have dreams or aspirations and you're just running into walls of resistance over and over and over. I found for myself that coaching has been an incredible resource. It was the first step in my own wellness journey that I took when I was feeling completely stuck and I had no idea where to go. I just knew that something didn't feel right. And it was actually my first life coach who helped me get in tune with my inner voice, define my values, set some boundaries, and really chart out a way to work towards my goals using my values as a compass. And that's a skill set that I use to this day, every day. That's how I navigate through my life. And those were some initial tools that I gained from my life coach. Since then, I've done therapy. I've also done career coaching as well. And because of that first experience with coaching, it's just opened up my whole world as to how important it is to reach out to others for support and not get stuck on my own. And it's actually what inspired me to start offering coaching myself about 5 years ago, just because it gave me so much value in my life. And there's tools that I picked up that I'm eager to share with others, which is very much in line with Lisa's story, which you'll hear later on. She experienced her first life coach, and that inspired her as a filmmaker to get into coaching as well. So there's very clearly a spirit of coaching that just leads you to want to encourage others. So again, I encourage you to check it out. I guess the last thing I'll say is that this conversation was recorded live in the Variable community, so members can have a chance to ask questions and connect with our guests. In addition to our guest Q&As, we have weekly interactive events and conversations on topics that rest at the intersection of wellness and filmmaking. All in all, it's a great group of filmmakers, so if any of this resonates, check us out in the free trial link at wearevariable.com. For now, I'm going to transition to my conversation with Lisa in just a second. I hope you enjoy. I guess first and foremost, I'd love to learn a little bit about your relationship to change. And a question I have for you is, what was your support structure growing up in relationship to change?
Growing up, support structure, relationship to change. It's a really, really good question because a lot of our habits or our behavior or the way that we show up in the world today has really deep roots in how we grew up. So for me, growing up, I was still fortunate to have two parents that were always there for me during change and transition. And their approach to supporting through things like that was usually rooted in a lot of encouragement, a lot of pep talks that included messaging kind of around the idea of like powering through and like being strong and like you fall down, you get right back up again, keep moving forward. Nothing's going to hit harder in life and you just got to keep going. So very kind of like a forceful message almost of like strength and courage and like don't let things get you down. Mm-hmm. And absolutely nothing wrong with that. It has definitely lit a fire under my ass at different times when I needed it. And we all need a kick in the pants sometimes, especially when we're kind of like going through like these swirly places or hit a wall or up against a wall. But what I discovered as I started now in my late 30s, doing a lot of this inner work and exploration, excavation, is that that approach and that messaging, for me, there was a bit of a subconscious undertone of get out of this feeling as soon as possible. Get out of the situation as soon as possible so you can move on and keep going. Don't stay here. You need to feel better. So it was kind of like a forceful pushing through instead of like learning what it would feel like to actually stay in discomfort.
When do you feel like you started to allow yourself or get a sense that you needed to sit in that discomfort a little bit?
Not until I got my own army of support behind me, honestly. Through therapy, through working with a coach, it was an idea that was pretty boring to me and totally normal and natural to have or to feel that way. The idea of like leaning into discomfort and sitting there.
Are you willing to share like the circumstances that sort of led you up to that point where you started to sense that something needed to change?
Yeah. I, like everybody, like, you know, you go through ups and downs. You just navigate life. It's thrown at you sometimes like through a fire hose, and you just figure things out. You just do and you figure things out. And for me, it was 2020. This is like pre-pandemic. And I woke up one morning and I went to the bathroom and I looked in the mirror and really looked at myself. And I did not know who was looking back at me. And that was not something that I was in practice of like looking in the mirror and like taking inventory of like where I'm at. I did not recognize that person. I was miserable. I was completely burnt out, stretched completely thin. At the time, my kids were 5 and 2. I have 3 kids, twins and a singleton. I felt like I was failing as a mom. I felt like I was failing as a leader. I felt like and knew my marriage was completely disconnected. I was questioning my career in production. Then the pandemic hit, I got furloughed. And this was like, these events were like very close together. I got furloughed. I went from being a working mom in a leadership position within production and advertising to a stay-at-home mom without any say in the matter. And I just didn't know who I was anymore. So I was asking myself the question of like, what am I doing?
That is a lot of factors.
It all kind of hit at once. It like, there were all of these things happening, you know, in my life, in my relationships, in my work. And then just that one day, it just all kind of like hit me like a truck.
You know, what's wild is I relate so much to that. And it's wild because we allow ourselves to get to that point to where that does happen, where we don't recognize ourselves in the mirror. Why do you think that is the case?
I think that we live in a society and in a world today that is so fast paced, that is so go, 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 that is so hustle culture oriented, especially in the business that we are in as filmmakers, because whether you're a freelancer or you have a production company or you're on staff somewhere or on someone else's roster, there's always that that push to like do and move and act or fill in the blank negative consequence. So I think that like the constant, the speed at which we live doesn't really allow a lot of space for us to pause because of the thoughts and the mindset that we have really been primed to have in environments like that. Mm-hmm. So it's not easy. It's not easy to stop and like take inventory.
In that moment where you're looking in the mirror, it's such a visual moment. So of course my mind has to go there. Can you walk us through your initial thoughts and your awareness of how you were going to try and resolve this disconnection with yourself?
It's a really good question. And at that moment, I didn't know. And that was the scariest part. I was like, I'm here. This is happening. This is how I'm feeling. This is what's going on in my life and with my job and with my career, with my relationships. And I don't know what to do about it because I was so low energy and I was so fried. It was just like, what do I do? And it really was, there were two things that happened, and I can get into those if you'd like. Two things that happened. One, at the job that I was working at an advertising agency, I was a director of video production there. managing a team of producers and a small post team. There was a course in mindfulness-based leadership that I took. It was a 5-month-long program. It was my first introduction to coaching. That was really, like, I knew a lot about, like, you know, meditating, and I had an active yoga practice in a prior life. So I knew about kind of like meditation and like centering, but like the idea of mindfulness was a little bit new for me. And that just opened up my mind and totally expanded my consciousness around what's available and what's possible. And then I was like, okay, what is this? What is coaching? Like, what is mindfulness? And just went all in on it. And then during that process, a friend of mine who I knew also from a prior life, I was at one point an editorial and commercial still photographer. I knew this girl from back then. She was also a photographer, super cool, amazing energy, beautiful human being. I was close with her back then. And then over the years, I left the city and she left the country and we just, you know, grew apart. But at that same time, I saw that she had started showing up on social media, posting these kind of like inspirational, motivational snippets and works and whatnot, videos. And I started poking around and I discovered that she was a life coach. And I was like, oh, I know someone that's a coach. And I had a conversation with her and I reconnected with her. And after that first conversation, I was like, this is it. This is exactly it. This is exactly what I need in order to help kind of lift me out of this place of where I'm at right now in my life. So I don't know, the universe delivered when I needed it.
It's amazing that you had the will and awareness to go sign up for the session with the life coach, like yourself. Because I know, first of all, I know how much resistance there can be to sign up for a therapist or coach or anything that's going to improve our life in any way. I know that firsthand. And I also know that because so I started going to see a life coach at a point in my production company about, I want to say 8 years ago or so, where my business partner told me, look, you either need to go to a life coach or a therapist, or I can't be your business partner anymore. So like, it wasn't really my idea, you know, I didn't go and seek out a life coach. So I think the fact alone that you recognized that there was this big disconnection and you took the action to get a coach is pretty amazing and says a lot about you and your resilience. So that's awesome.
Thank you. I will share though, after that conversation, I freaked out and I was like, I don't know. Everything was a yes on the inside, but everything on the outside was a, I don't know, fear set in, money, you know, like the investment, all the things. So I didn't actually formally engage with her until I think about 7 months later.
What was that freak out like after the call, if you would mind sharing with us?
You know, that's a really interesting question. I feel like I was kind of at war with myself. Because there was all of these feelings of like, everything sucks right now in all of the areas. Here is someone that can help me, but I'm afraid of making that investment. I'm afraid of like taking time away from work in order to invest in myself and take care of myself. It's like the idea of taking care of myself when my job is as a producer to take care of everyone else. My job as a mom is to take care of everyone else. My job as a wife is to take care of, you know, my family and my household and like all of the things. It was this conflict of what my role is as a giver and a caregiver in a professional and personal space, and then actually giving it back to myself, because that felt very scary.
It's like a identity shift almost.
Yeah. Taking care of yourself can be a very foreign concept when you're not used to doing that.
Why do you think that is generally people struggle with reaching out to get the support of others, whether if that's friends or professionals like therapists or life coaches? Why do you think we struggle to reach out for support when we know that we're struggling?
I think that people probably struggle to reach out for support for a few reasons. One, they don't know what kind of support they need. Two, if they did, you know, take some time and do some introspection and figuring out what are the things that are showing up for me that just aren't in alignment with where I want to be or where I want to go, they don't know who to go to in order to. It's like, you don't want to go to your mom because mom's just going to tell you what's what. You don't want to go to your friend because who knows, maybe they'll judge you when you like get really vulnerable. So it's this idea of not knowing what's available and what's out there. It's not being clear about what's actually happening and like really tapping in to get a sense of like, where is this coming from? Where is this stemming from? And then it's this kind of like fear of vulnerability.
The other side that I'll add to it too, which you mentioned before, was the financial element too, and feeling like literally investing in ourselves, you know, and we're so used to spending money on gear and materials. The idea of investing in ourselves to me was such a foreign concept, and it felt so, I don't even know what the right word is to describe it, just wrong from the way that I was used to perceiving my relationship to money. But what I can say is that was when I got my first life coach, it was hands down the best investment I've ever made in my life and introduced me to like a whole new world. And so I can't encourage anyone enough. I also know for therapy, at least, is something I didn't learn until, gosh, I think like 3 years into doing therapy, was that I could have had my insurance paying for a therapist. So now I pay $30 a session. When I was living in New York City, I was paying like $120 to $130 a session for years. And so anyone that says, and $30 is obviously, that's still money, but it's feasible, you know, it's feasible for a lot of people. So just something to consider for folks that are listening.
For sure. And I'll piggyback off of that too. Aside from therapy typically being covered by insurance or like certain therapists that would be covered under insurance, sometimes depend, like if you, whatever your insurance situation is, there may also be coaching options available. The difference there is that those are arrangements where you're typically assigned someone, whereas if you go out and find your own coach outside of that, you can interview people, you can talk to people, you can have these consultation calls and determine if you feel like the partnership is going to work for you.
So, Lisa, using your own story as a catalyst for change, embracing that discomfort from that self that you were looking at in the mirror to where you are now, could you take us a little bit through some of those initial hurdles and challenges that were initially really uncomfortable? Does maybe like one or two things stand out that were huge breakthroughs for you that you just kind of had to hold on tight and work through?
The first thing that comes to mind for me is that when I started working with my coach, one area that we worked on were around the idea of values and what we value. And I wrote down all of the things I went through, the whole exercise of determining, you know, what do I value? Like anybody, you can ask anybody that question, what do you value? And you can probably say like loyalty, financial security, like whatever it is. So I spit all of the things out that came out of my brain. And then I sat with it and I looked at the list and I was like, huh, that's interesting. The things that I listed here are all somewhat fear-based versus conscious-based. So the things that I listed were like, I value this. And if you completed that sentence, because if I don't, or if I don't live this way, like negative consequence could happen. So when I realized that the things that I valued were fear-based values that weren't serving me, everything started to make sense. The light bulb really went off in my head. It's like, this applies to literally all of the areas that I was upset with in my life and in my career. Because I was living a life that wasn't in line with conscious-based values, and there was no connection between them, between what I was living and doing and what I said I believed and valued. That was a big one, learning that values could be fear-based.
That's amazing. I'm so glad you brought values up, because that's something that from the first time I worked with a life coach, she helped me understand and define for myself. And now my values are on my refrigerator. They're on my mirror. They're constant reminders of who I am. And anytime I find myself worried or hurried or stressed out, I am damn near 100% sure it's because I'm not living true to my values.
Yeah.
So it's the good, I consider them like a compass for my soul. But I think that's the best way I've learned how to articulate it.
I
And
love that. I love that. I'm going to steal that one.
I will say for anyone listening to this, just, if you can't afford coaching or therapy or whatever it is, find some way to do a values exercise, because that is that's been a saving grace for me. So thanks for bringing that up, Lisa.
Yeah, totally.
Generally speaking, why do you think we find ourselves in positions where we feel stuck?
I would say, in its simplest form, we find ourselves in situations where we feel stuck because our brains are at work. Our brains will do whatever it takes to keep us safe and to keep us comfortable. So when we start to push the edges of that, of safety and comfort, experiment with things or try something new, our brains are going to interpret that as that's scary, or that's unsafe, or that's a big unknown. I don't know what's going to happen. And it has us hit the brakes, right? It has us wanting to kind of retreat back to what was comfortable in that little cozy corner. And when I think about that idea, like outside of like the brain-based conversation, we as people are all just blobs of energy sitting on a rock that's floating in space, which is also energy. And when I think about what gets us stuck from like an energetic perspective, at its foundation is a lack of awareness around our thoughts and how those are fueling our beliefs and our actions. Because you think something, you feel something, you do something, or you don't do something. And until we're able to really like master our mindset and manage our minds, it's going to be easy for us to always kind of pull back a little bit, or always kind of like stay where we were and expect a result from doing what we've always done, which hasn't gotten us to where we want to be.
Yeah, when you were talking, I was thinking a lot about my own resistance to change and why I've gotten stuck so much in my life is because I would say the first 30 years of my life in my professional career, I could adapt to change really, really well within my profession as a filmmaker, learn new things, learn how to use expensive tools and zero time, whatever the challenge was, I would adapt myself to figure it out so I could have the project on my reel and get the next job to pay the bills. But anytime a big change came up outside of that bubble of filmmaking, I would become almost paralyzed. It could be even the teeniest little things. Even a big thing like moving, for example, like the thought of even moving, or the thought of even a small change like getting an office space or something like that. It was just so overwhelming. Or actually, a better example would be the change of getting a therapist or a life coach as well. These things were so outside of the realm of my thinking habits that were all very dialed into film that the idea of even changing it almost feel, looking back on it or embracing change, it's almost like I wouldn't even challenge myself to do it because it just seemed so overwhelming to focus on something outside of getting the next job.
Yeah, it's a very valid feeling to have because you need to survive. You're in survival mode, right? You think about survival, and you think about like prehistoric times when people literally had to go out and hunt for their food in order to have a sustenance to live. How it translates to us today is like that. It's like, I've got to hustle, I've got to get the work, I have to do a really good job, I have to make something really beautiful and creative and emotive that connects with an audience so that I get the paycheck, so that they call me back again, so that they tell their friends, so that I can continue generating work and surviving. So it makes total sense that if something else in your peripheral or in your life, as small as it can be, can totally throw a wrench in things.
So what breaks that cycle other than, I guess, what happened to you and I, where we reach a point in our lives, It's like, holy smokes, this has gone too far. Obviously, coaching, there's tools like we're talking about. Are there any other things that you think can be helpful to sort of like break that cycle?
I think number one is figuring out how you can heighten your awareness to what's going on around you, outside of you, and within you. Whether that is establishing some sort of centering or like grounding practice or like meditation or something, so that you're tuning in, because your body has so much wisdom. And regardless of what's happening on the outside, your body is telling you things and asking you to do things. So I think like that's one way that you can start to break that cycle. With that comes awareness, and having some awareness around, okay, there are these external things going on. It's really causing some stress. I'm having a stress reaction to the things that are happening. It feels overwhelming. It's depleting my energy, and I don't have the energy that I need in order to respond to it from a conscious place, respond to it from a proactive space, and respond to it from a balanced and centered place, right? You go into kind of more like reactivity, and you're pulling from an empty container at that point. So having a heightened sense of awareness there to identify, okay, what are my thoughts and what are my feelings really telling me here? And there are usually four things going on, and I can share what those are.
Great.
Those four things are: you're making assumptions, you're making interpretations, you are experiencing and living limiting beliefs, or you have some type of a gremlin that's showing up. And expanding a little bit further on what those are, assumption is when you are basing, there are assumptions that you're making up based on history. So this has happened before. I made a reel and I only got 10 views on it. And so if I make another reel this next year, my yearly reel, it's not going to get the visibility that I'm hoping for, kind of thing, right? You're letting your past control your future. You're letting it even control your present. Interpretations are when you are creating a story or an opinion, or you have a judgment by filling in the blanks around an event or a situation or a person or an experience, and then you actually believe it to be true. So you're kind of like creating your own reality based on like minimal information. Could be correct, or there could be 100 other ways to look at that thing. And it's often hard to remind ourselves when we're so hyper-focused on like, this is what it is, to try to think about it from other points of view or from different perspectives. Limiting beliefs, those are your generalizations, stereotypes, ideas that you accept about yourself, ideas that you accept about the world or the people around you, and those actually limiting you in some way. And the most common limiting belief is like, I can't, or I should, or I have to, or I'll try. So those, like hearing language like that, are usually an indicator that you're limiting yourself in some way because of the beliefs and the thoughts that you have. And then gremlins are the juicy ones. Those are usually, it's like, you know, your shadow area. That's the voice in your head telling you that you are not good enough. And you might not hear that internally as literally as you're not good enough as a DP, or your work just doesn't cut it, or you're never going to get a look from any production company that is looking to fill a spot on their roster. It may not be as literal as that, but that gremlin work takes some like heavy excavation, and that could be like really strenuous work, but some of the most rewarding work. So having awareness around, okay, which of those four things are actually like happening here can definitely help.
It sounds like so much of what we're talking about here is leaning into the discomfort so we have the capacity to change.
Yeah.
Because change in of itself can be traumatizing if we don't have this awareness that you're talking about. So it's changing in and of itself is not necessarily the challenge. It's the ability to lean into the discomfort, have this awareness, and work through it consciously and hopefully compassionately.
Yeah. Yeah, it's super counterintuitive.
Yeah.
You feel discomfort and it feels awful. It could be very depressing. It could be very energy sucking. It could just make you feel, it just makes you feel uncomfortable. And no
Yeah.
one likes to feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So they retreat from it, or they redirect their focus, or they do something else. But the actual leaning in, the actual, I'm gonna feel this for now, is the thing that opens up all of the doors. It's the thing that opens up all of the possibility. It's the thing that opens up growth opportunities for you. When you are feeling discomfort, if you take anything away from this conversation, if you are feeling discomfort, especially in the face of change or transition, it is a screaming sign, a signal that growth is right on the other side and an opportunity is right on the other side waiting for you. And you're going to leave it on the table if you choose to walk away.
Amazing. So I have a couple other questions before we open up the conversation. One thing I wanted to dive into a little bit was I saw on your site that you also coach parents. So as a parent and a filmmaker yourself, I can imagine you have a really big heart for this. So could you share a bit of your heart for coaching parents and what that looks like?
Parent to people, or parent to pets, or parent to whatever, it all still applies, right? So, my heart for parents, we have one of the hardest and most rewarding jobs in the world. I hold a special place here for parents who are also hustling at, an out-of-home job or running a business, especially one that's in our industry, knowing the nature and the culture of production. The people that are doing both are trying to do both, right? Complexities around childcare, money, work-life balance, keeping intimacy alive and like your relationships, the pressure of raising children to be good people, and knowing that everything that you do, everything that you say, every feeling you express, every facial expression that you make, they're taking it in as data to help them learn how to interpret the world around them is a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot, especially when you're also having to choose, or you feel like you have to choose between family or the next job. Family, or do I need to go out and, have coffee with 100 directors in hopes that they like bring me on to their next project? Of missing my kids' first steps and like being on set for a week in another state or in another country. So there's a lot there. There's a lot going on there. And I love working with them because I've been there, I am there, and I do like to help them do this work to find some ease and spaciousness, to find certainty in their goals, and help them create an action plan and, a path that makes sense for that season of life, because it's a unique one for sure. All while, maintaining balance and joy and really putting some intention behind how they're living and why, and working.
I love that. I don't even have kids, but I think a lot about how hard it is for me to be in this industry with a wife. And that in itself is hard enough, just adapting to home life after being away for long, busy jobs. And a part of me is scared of going deeper into the industry and getting into really longer form stuff because I know how hard it is for me with just a partner and how hard that can be on the relationship and on the marriage. And I constantly question, am I meant to be doing longer form stuff in this industry? And because we want to have kids and we want to have a family, and that's one of my dreams. But and I know how hard it is for so many of my close friends as well. And so it's awesome to know that people have, they can hit you up as well and hear your perspective as a parent and a coach, because I can't tell you how many of my friends that have kids that struggle with this.
It's I'm not gonna lie, it's hard. I
Yeah.
mean, even in your situations, like your wife has wants and needs, and intimacy is the foundation of any type of relationship, right? So when you're gone, especially for long periods of time, it's probably difficult to integrate back into that. But one thing that comes up for me in hearing what you just shared, John, is that one thing that I think is really hard for people to embody and hard for people to accept and hard for people to believe is the idea that we are always 100% at choice. We are always at choice in any decision that you're faced with, in any struggle that you are faced with. You are always, always, always at choice. That could be a whole other conversation for another day. But getting clear about how to make those choices and how to make those decisions, and getting clear about what you need in those types of situations, what you need when you come off the road for like a 2-week job, that could be a whole other conversation.
Lisa, did you have any last things you want to add before we open up the conversation?
I think what I will share is that you are not alone. Whatever you are feeling in your career right now as a filmmaker, whatever you are experiencing, whatever fears that you have, whatever concerns or worries that you have, whatever celebrations that you have, there is someone else feeling the same exact things. And it could be hard to talk about stuff like that sometimes. So I would encourage everyone to like embrace vulnerability. I mean, you're doing that right now by showing up to this call. Embrace vulnerability, because one thing that I have also taken away from the work that I have done, from my work in production, from my work in coaching, is that the more able you are to show up from a vulnerable place, the more becomes available to you in relationships, the more that becomes available to you in connection, in getting you closer to the type of work that you want to be doing, the type of work that you want to see in your portfolio and your reel. It all comes from vulnerability, to showing up that way. So if anything, lean into it, take a look at discomfort, allow it to be there, feel through it, ask it, what is it here to show you? What is it here to teach you? Allow it to be your teacher. Allow yourself to be its student, and to take some time to pause and reap the benefits of that process. It's really, really a gift. It's really a gift when you get curious about your discomfort, when you get curious about what you're experiencing during a time of change. And the answers are going to come to you, especially when you have a support system around you, whether that be through close friendships or through professionals like a coach.
Thanks, Lisa. That was
Yeah.
awesome. All right. And that's a wrap on episode 13. A massive thanks to Lisa for sharing her story and so many insights into how we can embrace the discomfort of change. You can check out Lisa's coaching website at lisashirescoaching.com. If you're interested in tuning into the community conversation that unfolded after Lisa and I's conversation, you can join the community at members.wearevariable.com. Tune in next month for episode 14 with cinematographer Benjamin Loeb on the topic of losing ourselves to our work. Cheers for now, and thanks for taking the time to tune in.